From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Whitley Strieber joins us. Hybrids, are they walking among us? Here's what's happening. You know, we have talked on this program for years now about Yellowstone and that super caldera. It blows up every 600 plus thousand years. It's overdue. We'll get this. The gigantic underground plume of partly molten rock that feeds the Yellowstone supervolcano might be bigger than previously thought, according to new images. The study says nothing about the chances that an eruption at Yellowstone could occur, but it provides scientists with a valuable new perspective on the vast and deep reservoir of fiery material that feeds such eruptions, the last of which occurred more than 600,000 years ago. And as I said, it is overdue. The powerful earthquake and deadly tsunami that struck Japan on March 11th produced now familiar scenes of devastation, entire villages and towns reduced to rubble. We know that. And once the waters receded, they took scenes of the devastation with them. Piles of debris, smashed homes, cars, boats, perhaps more grim reminders of the lives lost in the tsunami are now afloat in the Pacific Ocean on powerful currents. And they are predicted to hit the United States, according to a model developed by researchers at the University of Hawaii. Roughly a year from now, the first wave of debris is expected to hit Hawaii's Midway Islands. In 2 years, the debris cloud will likely hit Hawaii's main islands. And in 3 years, it's projected to arrive on the U.S. West Coast. Can you believe that? President Barack Obama unveiled his long-awaited deficit reduction plan, calling for a mix of spending reductions and tax hikes that the White House claims would cut federal deficits by $4 trillion over the next 12 years without gutting popular programs such as Medicare and Medicaid. President Obama's plan includes a repeal of the Bush-era tax cuts on families making more than $250,000 a year, something sought by Democrats but strongly opposed by Republicans. In a moment, newsman Greg Hunter joins us. We'll react to that story. U.S. bank regulators have announced settlements with the largest home lenders over allegations of shoddy foreclosure practices, but the pacts did not include financial penalties. The banks agreed, however, to compensate borrowers who were wrongly foreclosed upon and to overhaul their mortgage operations. Fines are to be determined later. New government figures show about half of U.S. adults take vitamins and dietary supplements, a level that's been holding steady for much of the past decade, but the new data also shows a booming proportion of older women are now taking calcium. Dr. Robin Falkov, of course, has practiced homeopathy for more than 25 years and is a licensed doctor of Oriental medicine, and she's on the line with us now, back from Amsterdam with her significant other, Richard C. Hoagland. Robin, this story here that half of U.S. adults are taking vitamins and supplements, is that a surprise to you?
Oh, not at all. I think they've actually underreported. With all of the recent information in the news about vitamin D and the benefits and the big concern about osteoporosis, I mean, it's a no-brainer that you're going to be hearing about more women over 60 taking a lot of vitamin D.
But we get a lot of stories that some of these supplements aren't good for us. How do you believe that?
Well, as you know, George, I am quite picky about making any recommendations without checking on the history of a person first, because there are contraindications. If someone has an existing health condition, if they're taking certain pharmaceutical drugs or other medications, even certain foods that you eat can interact. So that possibility exists because we're all different. We all react differently, and that's why things need to be individualized. I mean, have you heard some of the drug ads on TV? I'm trying to remember this particular drug, but the outstanding thing that just had me screaming at the TV was when they're saying for someone under 110 pounds, of course, their reaction might be worse because of their weight. So why is not the medication calibrated to their weight?
Well, that's a good point. So the fact that half of the U.S. adults are taking vitamins and supplements, is that good or bad?
I think that's great. I think that's good. And if they want to make sure that they can continue to do that, there is a new bill, H.R. 1364, about, it's called Free Speech About Science, and this is finally something out there that will enable the natural health products community to share peer-reviewed scientific findings with the public. The public will be more informed, and they will be taking their supplements responsibly.
Very good. Robin's website, healthfreedomsrights.com, also linked up at Twitter at coasttocoastam.com. Okay, the president had his speech today. The Democrats and Republicans have reacted, and so will Greg Hunter. USAWatchdog.com. Greg's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Greg Hunter with us, USAWatchdog.com. As you know, Greg has nearly 9 years of network experience as an investigative correspondent, working for ABC News, Good Morning America, also working for CNN programs as well. He reacts, monitors a number of stories for us, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Greg, always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What'd you think of President Obama's tax cut program?
Well, in broad terms, it was kind of like the St. Valentine's Day massacre, except it happened in April. The president invited the Republicans over and said, hey, come over and listen to my speech. Then pulled out the presidential Tommy gun and started shooting the place up. He was talking about raising taxes $1 trillion, which Republicans are totally against because they say it will be a job cutter. He did say the upper few percent have done a lot better than the lower.
They're going to pay more. Yep.
And which is true. That is true. And listen, there's going to have to probably be a tax cut because our deficits are way too big. But neither party, and I'm really for neither party, they both say some truths and both leave out stuff. But neither party mentioned a word about the $70 billion a month that the Fed is printing to finance $75 billion a month to finance 70% of the government. Not a word. And we're talking about a budgetary speech. Now, the reason why they're doing it, they say it's because to hold down interest rate. But there's another reason, is that people don't want to buy all of our debt, and we want to hold the rates down.
Yeah,
the other
absolutely.
Thing that's going on, and this is very disingenuous on both sides of the aisle. You know, they all talk about cutting money. And I'm going to bring this up again because it's a huge number. And I don't care whether it's ABC or Fox, Bloomberg or CNN. I don't care. They gave away, this is a fact, that the Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, forgave Bank of America $127 billion of buybacks, putbacks of toxic mortgage debt into Freddie Mac. Now, this debt was supposed to be equal to a Treasury risk-free return. Oops, it's not equal. It's not even, who knows what it's worth, but it's certainly not a risk-free return. And because of warranties and representations, you have to, when you sell somebody something, it has to be what you say it is. This obviously wasn't equal to a risk-free return, and yet our own government forgave $127 billion to Bank of America, one bank, when they could have forced them to buy it back. Not a word.
No, not a word. Well, look, the House, the Senate, they still need to approve whatever the president would like to do.
We just started off. If you wanted gridlock in the government, boy, are you going to get it. Because, you know, the government, and I won't go by every single thing, but basically the president says, hey, listen, we're gonna cut $4 trillion in the next 12 years, not 10. And that's one of the beefs that the Republicans have, an honest beef. We'll have $2 trillion in cuts, $1 trillion in saved interest, and $1 trillion in new taxes. And here's another thing that neither side wants to bring up, the $5 trillion liability that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac represent. They just pretend we don't have it when we do. Nobody even accounts for it. We are in serious, serious budgetary trouble. Now, Congressman Paul Ryan, who is the ranking member on the House Budget Committee, he said that we're broke, and he said this after the president's one of the president's speeches, not this one, but before. He knows, they all know how serious this is, but they are playing chicken with the budget and how much debt we have. I mean, in March alone, we took in about $128 billion net after paying everything out we were supposed to pay out in March.
And what about the money we're paying now in Afghanistan, Iraq, and
We spent $1.1 trillion. We took in $128 billion. We spent $11,000 billion. 1.1 trillion. We took in $128 billion. We spent $11,000 billion. We are in deep, serious, catastrophic trouble with our budget and our deficits, and we're printing this money. And back to why it matters to the regular person.
I was just going to ask you that. Somebody listening to this program right now, whether they're police officers, truck drivers, people at home, nurses, if they're listening to us right now, Greg, saying, okay, but how does this affect me?
Remember, when I first started going down, I didn't have any grand predictions, and I've said this on my site. And I said, listen, about the only thing you can count on is inflation. And what do we have? Well, we're just about banging against the $4 a gallon limit on gas. We're not quite there yet.
It's over that. It's St. Louis. It's $4.20 now.
Well, the national average. I don't know what the national. I don't think it's quite $4 yet. I think by the end of the year, we'll hit $5. I said by summer, it was a lock. We'd hit $4.
And I'm sure it's more in California, where I just left a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And look at the price of food, and look at the price of other commodities and things you buy. And I think I said this on your show, because I've said this a lot. I said, you're going to see inflation and deflation at the same time. It's not mutually exclusive. You're going to see inflation in everything you eat and consume and touch and gas and stuff like that, and deflation in things like housing. And housing, the Case-Shiller report came out, the housing index came out at the end of March. And we had another net average median price of homes went down about 9% on average, 9.2%. So here we have the lowest interest rates in, what, a generation. The government is forcing the interest rates down, and housing prices are still falling. That is an ominous sign, because if we're going to sell all this debt, we're going to have to raise the interest rate paid on it, because what they're doing now is they're printing $75 billion a month. And I'm going to come back to this because it's huge. And now at the end of this QE2 program, which is supposed to, it's been indicated it would end at the end of June. And at the end of June, we're going to say, okay, world, come out and buy our debt. And we want to make sure we still give out loans for 5%. And we want to make sure we keep interest rates at zero. So why don't you buy our debt and buy our 10 years into the future for, 3.5%, and, 30 years into the future for, 4.1%. How many people are going to be taking that bet?
Yeah,
Bill Gross no longer holds U.S. Treasuries. He is the bond king, the world's biggest bond fund. What does that tell you about our debt? What this tells me is, we're going to be printing a lot more money. Not a word about the bank bailouts. We are one point, they argued for weeks and almost shut the government down about an hour before they had to shut it down over what, $35 billion? Our red ink is $1,600 billion. That's $1.6 trillion is our red ink. And they had to fight and almost shut the government down over $35 billion. We are in some deep financial malaise here, and then we don't have a bipartisan. We really have to get together and save the country and suck it up, and everybody has to make some cuts, and everybody's going to get hit here. We have a Hatfield and McCoy, the president drew first blood. He is playing the class warfare card. And here's another interesting thing: the Gallup poll just came out recently, and do you know what it said? It said for the first time, the president does not have a majority in any income bracket. Even the poor, the majority of the poor don't like Obama's policies. So naturally, he's going to play the class warfare card. He's going to go to the group of the biggest voters, which is, the lowest people on the income scale, and he's going to champion those people. The upper class people are probably lost. The middle class people are probably too far gone. But he's going to work on the lower end of the scale. I don't think it's surprising that he played the class warfare card. I don't think it's surprising at all.
Is
slipping there,
Greg? Is there going to be a compromise? The Republicans want the personal and corporate tax rate dropped to 25%. President Obama wants to raise it for those making over $250,000. Is there going to be a compromise here?
First of all, with the tax raise, I don't know why he's doing it at $250,000, because Now, this is where the Republicans are probably right about this. And they're saying, well, there's a lot of small businesses out there. And if you hit them up for another, you know, 10 or 12 or 15 billion a year, that's another job that they're not going to, or another two jobs that they're not going to hire. So maybe they should start at 750,000. But I don't, these guys are so far off, these guys and girls, the Republicans and Democrats, they're so far off. I mean, they are way off. They are trillions, a couple of trillion dollars away, or at least $1 trillion. The Republicans don't want to raise it $1 trillion while we're in this malaise we're in right now, which I'm not so sure we're going to get out of anytime soon. And so they're at least $1 trillion off, but yet neither side will say anything about all the backdoor banker bailouts that are continuing to go on. Because Bank of America isn't the only bank that's impaired that has the toxic debt at Fannie and Freddie, according to William Black, you know, the UMKC, University of Missouri, Kansas City economics professor and former bank regulator, says the frauds just as a few months ago were still going on, and one of the people committing it was the Citigroup. This is according to William Black. So what do you think that all these big banks, Bank of America got a sweet deal? Don't you think that Morgan Stanley's going to want to have their Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac debt, you know, relieved from them? Don't you think Citigroup will like that? Don't you think Goldman or J.P. Morgan Chase would like to have that? Sure, they're all going to want that. So not a word on either side about that, but we're talking about Medicaid and Medicare. But we have a whole other social program that has evolved since 2008, and that is big banker welfare. It's unbelievable.
It is.
And nobody says a word about it.
How are we perceived around this planet right now as a nation economically?
I say this to people all the time. If you think the people in India or Russia or China or Brazil don't send people to Wharton Business School and Harvard Business School, you're crazy. We're buying fuel and technology parts and we're buying commodities and we're buying things with dollars we can print. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute. You got to give us more money for this stuff that you're doing. And what they're behind the scenes, and you can Google this, and there have been many reported stories about this, is the rest of the world wants to get away from using the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And it's going to happen, and I think it'll happen sooner than later. And what people have to realize, if the dollar goes poof, or if it gets severely impaired, and oil goes, well, listen, you'll have to give us $250 a barrel for that oil, and in order for you to buy our oil, I mean, you're talking, you could have $5, $6, $7 a gallon gasoline. You're going to see big inflation. You're going to see people like John Williams thinks we're a lead pipe cinch for hyperinflation.
And Greg, I had Jesse Ventura on this week. He's pleading with Americans to vote independent, to get away from the Democratic and Republican parties. I'm not sure that's going to happen. I still see this, for good or for bad, as a two-party system in this country, even though, you know, the other candidates, whoever they may be, always present themselves well, the libertarians, the independents, and so forth. But I still think it's a two-party system. You have to be a Democrat or a Republican if you're going to win in this country at this point. But the way it looks, I mean, do you see any change at all coming by 2012?
I think it could be we could have a catastrophic currency depreciation event. We could have the markets fall out a bit. I wrote this piece several months ago called The Most Predictable Financial Calamity in History. Let's go back to the $75 billion a month. That's a staggering amount of money. I polled some of the people who have been right, Jim Sinclair, Jim Rickards, Rick Ackerman. I polled several different people, John Williams, about QE2 it ending. The implication was at the end of the second quarter, June 30th, it'll end. They all uniformly said, remember, these are all people who have been right. These aren't the Ben Bernankes and the Alan Greenspans of the world. These are the people that have been right. They said there's no way it ends. Well, when this is supposed to end and it doesn't end, and they keep overtly or covertly printing money to finance the federal government, there's going to be some breathtaking moves in precious metals.
Well, I think so too. Greg, we're going to take some phone calls with you when we come back in just a moment. Our special guest this hour, Greg Hunter, his website, usawatchdog.com. And we'll take your calls as we just get your views on how things are going. If you've been foreclosed on, you're struggling, if you think you're making it and making it well, check in with us on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. I shall be right back with Greg Hunter on Coast to Coast. Next hour, Whitley Strieber joins us as we talk about his new work, Hybrids. It's an incredible story, so make sure you're part of Coast to Coast for that. And when we come back, we'll take your phone calls with Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with Greg Hunter. We're going to take your phone calls as well. Greg, as you look beyond the economy, what do you see as some of our most pressing problems right now in this country?
Well, the economy, I had an interview at Bloomberg a few years ago. It was before I started my website, which I'm so glad I didn't, and I got my website. And I told the guy who just took a job at CBS, his name is David Rhodes. He's like the number two at CBS now. I told him, I said, I think the economy is the big story for the next 5 years. I mean, really, not just any economy, but really the big. It's going to be unbelievable, the economy. So I know you're asking me other than the economy. And to me,
right,
that is a huge, it's going to affect everything. It's going to affect war. It's going to affect social changes. It's going to affect everything because economic changes usually precede social changes in war. I mean, what do we have in, for example, the 20s? You know, a big boom in the 20s. Germany basically went insolvent, their currency hyperinflated in the early 20s, and that produced a big political change that produced Hitler, that produced war. So I think, and I don't know, I'm not saying we're going to produce Hitler, but I'm saying we already have three wars. We just started our third war. So the economic, everything fits together like a Rubik's Cube, but don't think for 1 minute that the economy and political changes are separate. They are not. They precede one another. And I think that we're going to have the other big problem, I think, then, is war. War and rumors of war. I don't mean to get biblical on you, but say whatever you want. We got three wars. We have, you know, something going on the Ivory Coast. We have Mexico is destabilizing with the narco drug traffickers. Our border is under. We have signs down there in Arizona that says, "Hey, you may not want to hang around here. This is a bad place. This is in our own country."
Right.
We have really a lot of social unrest. There's going to be a lot of forced austerity. We're already having austerity here in the United States. We put it off by having the big $787 billion stimulus package that just basically kicked the can down the road. You know, 44 states in the union have some sort of budget problems. Four or five, six of them, Illinois, California, New Jersey, and even Texas are, you know, several billions of dollars, 10, 15, 20, $25 billion in the red. So, back to they're the big problem, war. I think war is going to be a huge problem, and upheaval in the Middle East is a monster proposition. It is like the fall of the Berlin Wall, except on, you know, acid and crack cocaine.
Are you glad you're alive in this time period? Would you rather have been around in the 20s?
I am, because you know what, George? I tell people, I said, you know what it is? It's 1951, and I've got a TV station. And people look at me and I say, in 1951, nobody had any TVs. And I said, don't worry. Wait, it'll grow. You know, I write something on USA Watchdog, and I just had my, another record month. And I press post, and 3 seconds later, somebody in Australia can read what I wrote, and about 2,500 people last month did.
I know. It's amazing.
It's utterly amazing.
Yeah, it is. Let's take some calls. Roberta, first-time caller, Houston, Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Roberta.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I actually had a quick question and a quick idea. Since Social Security is going to be going bankrupt, isn't it possible to be able to get my to get a refund on all the taxes that I paid into Social Security?
No.
That way, even though it's going bankrupt, at least I'll be able to get my money back. And I was wondering also if the United States dollar is no longer the reserve currency of the planet, how high can we expect prices to go up on fuel, food, and all the things like that?
Well, let me address that first of all, Greg. Then we'll talk about Social Security. I think the price of food is going to continue to skyrocket. Our advisor here, Steve Schenck from eFoods Direct, tells us that he has seen food prices going up, up, up. That's why he recommends people store it for the future. I don't think it's going to get any lower. Greg, do you?
I don't, and I tell people all the time, because there's a lot of people, you know, they want to know how to protect themselves. Well, it depends on where you're at economically, socially, economically. You can't just tell people to go out and buy gold. You might, or buy silver. You might, it might take a big price correction. You may have near-term need for your money and have to sell at a loss. And but you know, if you prepare for inflation, you know, buy stuff that buy food that you can store. Not because there won't be any, because it'll never be cheaper. If you're on the edge on buying a set of tires, man, go out today and buy your set of tires, because in a year they may be double the price. So what I say is, and I still say the same thing, count on inflation, and you could count on hyperinflation. And in that case, they're going to have to make a move to do something with the currency, to fix the currency. And you may have a reverse, what in the stock market called a reverse split. When that means is like you say, oh, you have, 10 shares for $1, but now you just have one share for $10.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I think they're going to try to put this off as long as they can. But at some point, they're going to have to stop the dollar and have a new dollar. And they'll say, hey, listen, for every dollar you have, you get for every $10 you have, you get one new dollar. There are $7 trillion held outside the country. That's 7,000 billion. 7 trillion. Let's sit on that number.
Solid paper, Greg.
In order for this to work, in order to have a currency devaluation to work, you have to, the maximum amount of people have to take a hit. You can't have everybody running to get on the right side of the trade. I think that's what the whole gold and silver play is. It is purely a currency protection play. I think that's the rising price of oil. It's a proxy for inflation. There are some other problems. You know, there's some war and strife and risk premium now you have the Egyptian soldiers who were so good during the first uprising are now shooting their own citizens. Oops. Syria's destabilizing. Yemen's destabilizing. Bahrain has had big protest. Libya is we are in our third war, and there will ultimately be boots on the ground. Somebody's boots are going to be on the ground. Either they're going to be, French and British, but I can't imagine we're going to let the French and British go in there without us going in there too. This is going to be very, very expensive, and it count on inflation, and we could get hyperinflation.
All right, next up we go to Lindsay in Sunland, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Lindsay, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's nice to hear you, to talk Thanks. To you. Mr. Hunter, I have some questions for you. I'm on SSDI, and not that I want to be, but I was put on it, and I cannot work. And I want to know, I'm living within the money that I receive. There's no money at the end of the month. I'm broke. The day I get my money, I pay my bills, and the next day I have no money. Now, I'm receiving food from churches, and because I don't have the money to buy food, because rent is so high, and I refuse to live in a place where they have bars and you're afraid to go out at the day the sun goes down. What is it going to be like for us?
Ma'am? Anybody on a fixed income, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I am merely the messenger. It's going to be tough. You're going to be faced with increasing inflation prices. And the way the government rigs the numbers, and this is another thing, the mainstream media reports the inflation prices like, oh, it's only 1%, it's only 2%, whatever the government says, when in actuality, it's according to John Williams, at shadowstats.com, who reconfigures the inflation money, the inflation numbers to recreate them before all the gimmicks, like back in 1980 when they had real inflation numbers, it's around 9%. So, ma'am, I don't have any good news for you. If there's any way you could take on any kind of responsibility to make some extra money, I would do it. I don't know what your situation is, and I'm not trying to be cruel. I just would, however you could do that, however you can come up with a way to cut your expenses or bring in some more money, you're going to need it.
Yeah, everybody's going to. Jason is in Syracuse, New York. Hi, Jason.
Hi. What I have a question about is, with all this stuff going on, it's blatantly out in the open with the derivatives, and just the bank scandals and Wall Street and Bank of America literally being bankrupt. Why can't we prosecute them? How come nobody can bring them to justice? Why can't I go in and say, you're robbing from me, you're robbing from everybody? We gotta stop this.
I'll tell you, this is one of my pet peeves. In the savings and loan crisis in the 1990s, we successfully prosecuted 1,000 financial elites. We're not talking about clerks. We're not talking about people who are on the front lines of the mortgage application fraud. We're talking about a sitting governor was convicted. We're talking about big, important people went down. This problem is at minimum 40 times bigger than the savings and loan crisis. The savings and loan crisis looks like somebody dropped their piggy bank and pennies went all over the floor. This is huge. Not a single person has been prosecuted, a single financial elite. Angelo Mozzillo, who was at Countrywide Financial, Countrywide Mortgage, he was called in and he had to pay a $67 million fine. He didn't have to admit guilt. What we have in the president of the United States, and I think whether it's a Democrat or Republican, they say, we don't see any fraud. We don't see any mortgage fraud. You don't see any. You got to be kidding me. They're not looking for it. And what they said is they can't stop the foreclosure process. To me, what that means is what the president said. That means we have to live with the criminal activity in the economy. Otherwise, the whole thing could collapse. We should be prosecuting these people. And here's another thing that people don't realize, and this is a statement of fact. The banks announced that they made big bonuses this year. However, the Financial Accounting Standards Board changed how they valued assets in April of 2009. In other words, the banks can hold on their books mortgage-backed securities, these derivatives that the caller mentioned, or actual real estate, they can hold it at whatever value they think they can sell it for in the future. Do you know how solvent somebody could look if they could take their assets and value them at whatever they think they can get in the future? That's like me having, 100 ounces of silver, and I say, I'm going to value that at $1,000 an ounce because that's what I think it'll sell for in the future. You know how flush you could look? The banks, some of the banks, many of the banks, in my opinion, would be insolvent if they were forced to have mark-to-market. What is this asset worth today? That's what you put it down in your books. After all, that's how the IRS does accounting. We're in some serious trouble. We're in such serious trouble that they don't even mention it. The Republicans or Democrats, which I don't have any like for either one. Sometimes the Democrats are right. The president said some things in his speech today that was correct. Sometimes the Republicans are right. Paul Ryan, in his counter to the president, was correct in some of the things he said. But they're arguing about the deck chairs on the Titanic and the whole side of the boat is ripped open.
I am wondering, when is somebody going to do something about Iran?
What do you mean?
Well, look, how long have they been talking about this?
And listen, Iran is laughing their heads off with this Libya thing. They are tee-hee, ha-ha, hoo-hoo. They're rolling around on the floors laughing their heads off about us getting in so deep. I mean, we kind of allowed Russia to get in deep in Afghanistan, and they ended up imploding. Now, we have a much bigger economy, and we're the world's reserve currency, and we're America. But we're $1.6 trillion in the red in this budget. We're $1,600 billion in the red. We only took in $128 billion in March. We spent eight times what our revenue was. People ought to be terrified, and they're not really getting any of this from the mainstream media. None of it. They just kind of ignore it. They take whatever the government numbers. This is the reason why I think 95% of people don't really fully grasp what's going on. All the stuff that I've told you about the numbers that I'm quoting are, you can Google them. They are real numbers. What my analysis, and people like me and other, there's plenty of other websites that do good analysis too, incidentally. These are people that have been right, and the warning signals are way out there. They're flashing, bright red. And this thing with the president playing chicken with the Republicans, and Republicans are saying, well, we're going to go to war, we're going to go to battle. I don't know how long the country stays solvent. I don't know how long. And the big problem is going to be the dollar. In the Great Depression, I'll tell you why this is so frightening. In the Great Depression, two things were never, ever questioned in America in the Great Depression. Number one, our credit rating. Never questioned, ever. We could borrow as much money as we wanted. Number two, the value of the dollar. Never questioned. The world we're coming to right now, our credit rating has been talked about many times by S&P and other rating services to be cut. And the value of the dollar, as you can tell by the rising price of food and gasoline, is going down. That is also in question. That is a frightening proposition. This is going to make the Great Depression look calm and peaceful and lovely compared to what's coming. Imagine a world where your currency is depreciating at an alarming rate, and you want to spend it and putting it into something physical as fast as you can.
I still see it as a plot for this one world government, Greg.
George, you might be right. You know, maybe the only way, no military power on the planet can destroy us. We spend more on our military than all countries combined. I think some of the UFOs are real, and there's been congressional testimony to back that up. But I think some of the UFOs are black ops out in the desert.
No doubt.
In 2000, I was in New York standing on the 26th floor of my apartment on the Upper West Side. It overlooked the Hudson River. And there was something called OPSAIL. In 2000, it was a big celebration in, you know, the port of New York. And an F-17 stealth fighter came flying around Manhattan sideways, okay? Flying around, you could see the whole thing. It was a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And I looked at my wife and said, that's 25-year-old technology.
That's right.
What do we have now?
It is 10 times that. Let's go to Bob in Maui in Hawaii. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Let me get off my other phone here. Hang on.
Okay,
can you,
sure.
Now you can hear me better,
there
right?
There you go. Yep.
Okay. Oh, gee, what a pleasure it is to talk to you about Maui. Aloha from here.
Aloha.
Well, Mike, I have a question and then a comment, and I don't know. Do I have some time? I know we're getting close.
I've got time for your question, Bob,
okay,
so let's, let's see
the,
what we
the
can...
question is the stagflation. If we're going to be printing, what was it, $75 billion a month, was it, or something like that?
$75 billion a month.
Yeah, so
I think it's much higher than that.
I mean, but these guys were arguing a week ago over they ended up like $38 billion. I mean, gee, in less than a month, that's already gone. That's history. I mean, by the time they enact the law, they're already over budget again. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So your question?
My question is this: stagflation. Okay. If they're printing a lot of money, yes, that means that we're going to have inflation, and the more they print will be hyper. But if the price of oil keeps going up, which it has to do, simply because oil is now the new money, I mean, people haven't said that yet, but the futures contracts in oil, basically those people are buying oil because it's reflecting what's happening to the dollar, and they just are buying oil instead of gold, you know, right now. And eventually gold will come back up and all that, but we're not going there right now. Anyway, what I'm saying is that if we go, if food costs more, oil costs more, gasoline costs more, and we're going to go into a deflation at the same time because people can't afford it. That is my question. Where do we go with all this?
I'm telling you, Bob, the next 2 years will be dramatic here in this country, and we're going to keep our eyes on it along with USAWatchdog.com, Greg Hunter. I'll be back in a moment with Whitley Strieber, Hybrids on Coast to Coast AM.